You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas went through a shorter practice Friday as it gets ready for its first scrimmage of the preseason. The Razorbacks will scrimmage Saturday morning inside Razorback Stadium. Matt Jones joined by Andrew Joseph and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Scotty has just gotten off the practice field. Scotty, what were some of your takeaways from watching the team today?
Yeah, I think I finally got to lay eyes, good eyes on Drew Sanders, and I reported in the observations the first few days of practice that he wasn't going through fastball starts and whatnot. He's got a black leg sleeve on his left leg. Maybe that could be kind of it, where they're maybe trying to limit a few of his reps and keep his load a little bit lighter. But he was not with the defense in the first period of practice, which we weren't allowed to video or take photos of that. Instead, Jordan Crook lined up at linebacker in his place. And then, right when I think it was the end of period three or four, we were walking off the practice field, and I think Arkansas was about to do some good on good work. And Funkapool and Drew Sanders were both out there. So I think it's pretty safe to say that Drew Sanders is fine. One of the things after the first fully padded practice of the preseason on Thursday, Arkansas was back in helmet, shoulder pads, and shorts today. I think they're just trying to get everybody into the weekend, into that first scrimmage. Sam Pittman said on Thursday that, he didn't think that the first scrimmage was, necessarily more important than, the first fully padded practice. But you might see some depth chart things, begin to shake out, at least in the coach's eyes, in that first scrimmage. But I think even though they're not fully padded today, it's still semi-live. They're not taking anybody to the ground, but they are still being pretty physical.
I think what happens, and we've seen this quite a bit, not just with Pittman but with other coaches, is that when you have a player like Sanders, who you know what the capability is with him, right? I mean, big time recruit, has been at Alabama. They liked what they saw out of him in spring ball, and from all indications, what they've seen from him, in the time that he's practiced this preseason, there's really not that push to put him on the field too much, Scotty, because it feels like he's a little bit of a known commodity.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's why his spring was so big, and they've got, I think, ultimate confidence in him that he can be a really tremendous complement to Funkapool, just another guy that can run sideline to sideline, probably faster than Bumper. But I think both of those guys have a mentality that they're going to hit whatever runs at them. And if it doesn't run at them, they're going to go run it down. I think Drew is more than capable of doing that. And I think that's why I think, limiting maybe a little bit of his workload, maybe if it is a calf, kind of need your calf to run, man. It's an essential part of that. But, when they were doing things today, he was out there. So I don't think it's anything serious at all, but I think more than maybe just to couple his workload a little bit, you're still in that evaluation process with the rest of your linebacker group. And I think Jordan Crook, Pooh Paul, Jackson Woodard are in the mix for snaps too, and I think they just want to get those guys a little bit more action to see who they might run out there and who they trust on Saturdays.
Yeah, Sam Pittman, not to say that Sanders is dealing with any type of injury. We don't know what's going on there. But Sam Pittman did say earlier in practice something, Andrew, that stood out to me. He said you can look at an injury as a positive or as a negative. And, the way he views it, at least in terms of practice, is that it allows other players to get in and get reps in positions that they might not be able to.
Yeah, to your point, I think he was asked about if they would go to full tackling anytime soon. And he said that the depth they have may not be as good as some other teams in the conference, which really perked my ears up when he said that, because I think depth is something that I would assume is taken care of in the offseason before you get to this point, because now that you're here, There's not a whole lot you can do to add talent, maybe a late addition from the portal after the preseason camps, but then you're getting a guy that's a lot farther behind. And so when you have those injuries occur, you would like to already have those guys in your program and have that depth already.
One example of an injury kind of being a positive, maybe in the long run. I remember late in Sam's first season, I think Arkansas had an injury at cornerback. And then that kind of threw Ladarius Bishop into the fire. I think it was against Alabama. He ended up going out and having, you know, I think one of his best games in a game that, you know, gave the coaches a little bit of confidence to, you know, throw him out on the field. And I mean, he's got really, really good speed. So I think they just, because of that injury, I think they saw a lot of potential in Ladarius. And right now, I mean, a couple of years later, he's, you know, still fighting for a starting spot. But I think that's because it's kind of where it all started. So coaches can see your potential, you know, just kind of as a result of something fairly unfortunate happening.
So, Scotty, you mentioned Drew Sanders. You mentioned some of the linebacker. What, you know, you didn't have a whole lot of time to watch him today, but were there other things that stood out to you?
I paid fairly close attention to, you know, quarterbacks and receivers throwing on air. I walked that way because I wanted to try to get a clip of Sam Pittman walking that direction. He kind of moseys around the practice field to different position groups and different drills. And he probably stood 25 or 30 yards facing the quarterbacks as receivers ran toward him. And I think he would probably say the same thing. There were a few too many balls on the ground today. I saw some drops. I think Bryce Stevens, Jaden Wilson maybe had one. There were just some balls that from quarterbacks that weren't exactly on the money. I wouldn't say that it got sloppy per se, but probably a few too many balls on the ground for Sam and Kenny Guyton's liking. Still just really impressed with Matt Lander's speed. He's got really easy speed. Warren Thompson, I think, is a guy that a receiver with Hazelwood and Matt Lander's kind of taking some of the headlines in camp. You know, he's having a really steady camp too. And Sam said on Thursday that maybe he's improved as much as anybody a receiver. So I was paying close attention to him. Isaiah Satan has got really good burst off the ball. And I know we talked about him earlier in the week, just as a guy that maybe Kendall Briles uses as maybe one of those scat backs and like a wide receiver reverse or something like that, just to get his speed and his elusiveness on the field. He's got pretty good hands too. I think he's impressed the coaches that way. No, I think Tyquese Crawford is still working with the second team at right tackle. Sam said on Thursday that he hasn't beaten out Dalton Wagner yet, but the kid is going to play. I just think he's way too talented to not play or find a spot for him. But still, they've got Josh Street, I believe he's a walk-on. He's at backup center. So you're looking at Marcus Henderson, still not active. He's in green. Ja'Cory Turner's in green on the defensive side of the ball. So Quincy McAdoo, Jaden Wilson, and Isaiah Satania running with the twos at receiver, and A.J. Green was the backup tailback. So that's just kind of your two deeps, not necessarily official by any stretch of the imagination. But that's kind of what the lay of the land was today.
Yeah, I was out there watching Matt Landers on Thursday, and you know, it was really I had seen him, but it was the first time that I'd really stood up next to him. And I'm about 6 foot two. I mean, he's a legitimate 6'5". Looks like he's maybe 6'6", 6'7" in a helmet. And he's got that burst and that speed that, you know, people talk about. Scotty, can you think of a player comp for Matt Landers? I've been going through this for the last day or so, and I don't know if I even like player comps, but I mean, who would you compare him to? Because this is, I'm not going to say he's a unicorn, but it's definitely a different looking type of wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm kind of racking my brain right now. And I think, you know, one of the guys, maybe when I was late in my college years and right out of college, I remember Dominic Reed on campus. It was a guy that I think came from my neck of the woods down in Camden. You know, he had really, really tremendous speed and, you know, kind of a taller, leaner guy. And I think that kind of fits the physique of Landers too. I'm not sure if that's a fair comp or not, but that's kind of the name that popped into my mind. Both of them are just really, really electric with their speed. And the best way I can put it in terms of the way that Landers runs is he just kind of glides. And it looks like it's, I think Malik Chavis said the other day that it doesn't even look like he's trying, or maybe it was Jaden Hazelwood that said that. I think Dominic Reed's a solid comparison. I think it was late in Brett Bielema's tenure. In the LSU game, Dominic Reed took a reverse, you know, to the house at LSU. I think Landers is a guy that can do some similar things. And, you know, at 6'5", you know, Matt, you're talking about his height. I think that's in addition to, you know, his speed, he's a guy at 6'5" that can go up and turn maybe a 50-50 ball into a 75-25 ball, 80-20 ball. And I think that's obviously really, really nice to have.
You know, they've talked a lot about having bigger players, and I've mentioned this a couple of times. You know, it's not just about having bigger linemen. I think that's maybe where people's mind goes when you hear Sam Pittman talk about having bigger players. It's players like Matt Landers, you know, having these taller, rangier receivers, you know, who've got a bigger catch radius. You know, it's having bigger nickelbacks like a Latavius Breeny, who's come in from Georgia. It's having bigger cornerbacks. It's not just about weight, it's about the height. And that's one of the things that I think may be getting overlooked, if that's the word, when it comes to this football team is, yeah, they're bigger, they're bulkier, but they're a lot taller too.
Yeah, we've talked about it before, and how Sam Pittman mentioned that when they get off the bus, they look like an SEC football team now. And size has obviously been a point of emphasis in recruiting for them, not only for freshmen, but out of the portal as well. You kind of went position by position, but you can look down. Every single position group just has huge human beings. Even quarterback, KJ Jefferson, is not your average quarterback build. And then running backs, they like their power backs. And Dominique Johnson, Rocket Sanders is chiseled. The wide receivers tall and have great length. And then on the defensive side, also, I think all the defensive backs are right around that 6 foot range, and which is just abnormal, but in a good way.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas, where you can always get the best service and best buying experience in the state. Landers Toyota, NWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota, NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota, NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Each day on the Whole Hog Football Preseason Podcast, we take a deeper look at a position on the Razorbacks roster. Today, we're going to talk about cornerbacks, a very intriguing position for the Razorbacks because you do have returning players, Scotty, but you also have some newcomers who I think there's a lot of intrigue about, and I guess that starts with Dwight McLuthern, the cornerback out of LSU, put up pretty good numbers for the Tigers last year, was part of a secondary that also included Derek Stingley. And when you think about good cornerback play, I think LSU is one of those programs you think about. And so, to pull a cornerback away from LSU and then one who started multiple games the way McLuthern has, it's really interesting to see how he fits into this secondary. And right now it's a position battle, it seems like, between he and Hudson Clark.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think McLuthern is going to be a guy that's going to be really, really tough to keep off the field just because he, by all accounts, I've asked about McLuthern, several times in the spring and a couple times this fall. And the first thing you hear about is the confidence that he plays with and the swagger that he brings to the cornerbacks room. And I'm not saying that that's something necessarily that Arkansas has missed in the past, or not had in the past, like a cornerback that would get in your face and just kind of let a receiver know he was trash after he broke up a pass or whatnot. But I think he could bring an element of that. And I don't think that's a negative thing at all. Like, you want your corners to be really confident in themselves and, you know, have a little bit of gamesmanship about them. Of course, you're going to get beat on a pass here and there, but still just being able to keep that confidence high is really important. Hudson Clark, I think he flashed early in camp with what we heard. It was a one-handed pick of KJ Jefferson where he kind of sat down in his zone and came down with a really impressive interception. And I remember talking to KJ after that practice. I could see the look on his face. It was really eating him up, just letting Hudson pick that ball. I think that's one of the more interesting position battles right now. I think Malik Chavis on the other side is in a pretty good spot. His backup right now would be Ladarius Bishop. And listening to Dominic Bowman talk the other day, I think he thinks that Chavis has got some pro-like qualities to him, just if he keeps at it and keeps developing and progressing at the rate that he is. He's really long, really fast, and if he does get beat, he's got pretty good recovery speed. But on the side opposite of Chavis, you know, I think McLaughlin and Hudson Clark are in a pretty good battle. And, you know, not to say that the first scrimmage isn't important, because I think anytime you have a scrimmage, it is important. It's like, you know, it's like the test for the teacher, just to see how the kids perform after a week of learning and battling it out in position group drills and whatnot. But, you know, I think maybe one of those guys can make an impression and head into the second full week, maybe with the depth chart looking a little bit different. Maybe McLaughlin jumps ahead of Clark, but maybe Hudson has a good day and he stays put and keeps it status quo.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how tight that battle has been going into camp and up to this point, but I know yesterday we got to watch the one-on-ones with the DBs and the wide receivers, and McLaughlin couldn't have had a better day. I think he won every rep, didn't give up a catch, had multiple pass breakups. And then on the flip side, Hudson Clark got beat twice by Warren Thompson for a couple touchdown catches, one in which he got caught flat-footed and kind of everyone in the background was hooping and hollering as it happened. So I'll be interesting to see if that maybe shakes things up on the depth chart.
Sam Pittman was asked about McLaughlin during the SEC media days in Atlanta last month, and I loved his comment. We're going to play it for you right now.
For us, Dwight McLaughlin is a guy we think can play man-to-man cover corner. More importantly, he thinks he can play man-to-man cover corner, and he can. He's long. I like him a lot.
McLaughlin, who you heard Sam start to refer to as Nudie, that is his nickname. I don't know if anybody knows why that's his nickname, but we've heard multiple players and coaches refer to him as that. On the other side of the field, from a corner standpoint, Scotty, you're really looking at what Malik Chavis, Ladarius Bishop is a returning starter, although I don't think he was an every game starter. Those are pretty much the two who I think are probably battling it out on the other side.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's Chavis's job to lose right now. And that's, you know, I wasn't expecting this to kind of play out the way it has, because Chavis, you know, he started at Arkansas as a safety, and I think they liked him back there. But, I mean, it's really hard to argue with the move of, you know, putting a guy with as much range and length and speed like Malik Chavis. And he's another one of those guys too, y'all, that, you know, mentioned just being a bigger, taller team. I think Chavis fits into that too. He's a big body for a corner. You know, I think if he goes out and has a good season, he could be a guy that maybe jumps on some maybe mock drafts or just get in the NFL scouts radar. I know there's been several scouts from maybe a dozen teams that have come out to camp that I've seen so far, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's, you know, maybe turn some heads just with his sheer size. And then once you watch him play, you know, I think he's kind of a natural fit at corner. Like I said, he's got all the tools, the speed, the length, and the intelligence too. And Dominic Bowman sure thinks a whole lot of him, because Ladarius Bishop might be, man for man, he might be the fastest guy on the team. But just having speed is not going to get you on the field, especially with Dominic Bowman. I think you've got to be really, really technically sound and, you know, just able to follow game plans to a T. And it sounds like Malik Chavis is the guy to, I think it's his job to lose right now. And, you know, maybe behind Ladarius Bishop might be a guy like Kari Johnson, maybe battling Ladarius Bishop for that two spot. Kari Johnson was a guy in the spring that I was really impressed with. His physicality just really, really stood out. And he was a guy, you know, kind of I mentioned that McGlothern might be, just in terms of an in-your-face corner, that, you know, he'll pop you in the head and then let you know about it. I think Kari Johnson is kind of cut from that same cloth. But right now I think it's Chavis, Bishop, and then maybe on Bishop's tails, you know, Kari Johnson might be there.
I want to talk about Hudson Clark for a second. Of course, you know, he had that big game against Ole Miss where he had the breakout in 2020 with the three interceptions. He's also been beaten in a number of situations, but he continues to be, you know, near the top of the depth chart. Scotty, do you think this is something where Clark shows the coaches something different in practice than maybe what he shows all the time on game day? Do you think people are maybe overly critical of him and some of the, you know, the things they see from him in games? You know, just what do you see from Hudson Clark and what do you see from him as far as his potential over the next 12 games, maybe 13 this year?
Yeah, if I had to put my finger on it, I would just say that he's a guy that's attentive to detail and probably a guy that is technically sound enough to where he's not going to get beat over the top several times a game. Like no cornerback that's played a while doesn't have a burn on their track record. But I think Hudson Clark kind of gets a little bit of a bad rap sometimes because maybe doesn't have all the athleticism that you would like to have in a corner. Because you look across the field and Malik Chavis is just like, he's oozing athleticism. But I think some people just underrate Hudson Clark a little bit, but he's got good size too. I think he's 6'2". Or 6'3", and I remember talking to his parents after that three interception game in 2020, and I remember his dad Travis was like, you know, people always want to pick on Hudson, and then until they see him leap, I mean, the kid can really jump. He can really jump, and I think some of that helps a lot. Like when a quarterback, you know, maybe throws a ball to a receiver that's you call it a 50-50 ball. I think Hudson can go and make plays on that. And then he's capable of making plays like he did early in camp, you know, coming down with a one-handed pick of KJ, who, you know, last season did a really, really good job of keeping the ball out of harm's way. Really very few interceptable passes. I just think he's pretty technically sound and is a guy that's just not going to get beat over the top. Maybe they do pick on him a little bit when he is on the field, but I think he can limit the damage, you know, maybe 8 to 12 yards versus, you know, 25 or 30 or even more, maybe on a deep ball score. I just think that he kind of eliminates those big plays.
You know, and then of course, an extension to cornerback is the nickelback position. Scotty, from what I've seen at practice, it looks like 1-2 is what, Miles Slusher, Trent Gordon?
Yeah, I would say that's about right. I will say that one thing that I thought, I just thought about this, watching that first period, Arkansas was you know, a little bit thin right now on the defensive line, especially maybe at the tackle spot with Torian Carter and a guy like Campbell out right now, and Marcus Miller too. So maybe, gosh, they're without three bodies there, but they went with a three-down line, and you saw Miles Slusher out there, another guy like Jaden Johnson at safety. I think that he can be a guy too. That guy can move well enough that he might be able to see some time at nickel before it's all said and done. I think Trent Gordon is an option there. I'm not certain that we would really see just a ton of Trent Gordon right now because he was a guy that came in. He was a transfer from Penn State. Like, you get a defensive back from Penn State, you really like what you get, but it just hasn't seemed like it's worked out with him, whether it's injury or just guys performing better than him to this point. But I think that Miles Slusher is your A1 nickel right now. He's a guy that brings a whole lot of versatility because he can slide back to safety to really good at surveying the field. And obviously he's kind of in that same mold as a guy like Greg Brooks, but I think a little bit of a better tackler, more of a willing tackler, a little bit more physical maybe than Greg Brooks was. So I think you're going to see a whole lot of Miles Slusher this year. And maybe he's a guy that has a
Yeah, I think the way Barry Odom uses his defensive backs and plays, you know, sometimes six on the field at a time is going to give a lot of reps to a whole bunch of different players and get a bunch of different looks in. And a guy I'm interested to see would be Jaden Johnson in that nickel spot. Bigger guy, he's about 6'2", 220, and he can step in and play the run when needed. And I think he's a guy that Sam Pittman really likes. He made three starts as a freshman last year, so I could see him maybe progressing and getting a few more starts and some more action.
Jaden Johnson's a guy that, you know, he'll hit you in the mouth and he'll let you know about it too. And I know I've said that a lot, but anytime you get a defensive back that does that, it kind of piques my interest because it's, you know, not every day that you see a guy that, you know, has the swagger to do that. I remember, I think it was in Jaden Johnson's first fall camp, Joe Fouché, ironically enough, was the guy. He's at LSU now after he transferred down there with Greg Brooks. But he was a guy that really remarked and just really praised Jaden Johnson because of his size at his age. I think Jaden Johnson is another one of those guys that is going to be pretty tough to keep off the field too, just because he's littered with talent. He's a bigger body, so he can come down and, you know, if you want to, you know, stuff the box with another defensive back, I think he's a prime candidate to do that.
Let's end on this. They're going to scrimmage Saturday. Scrimmage is going to be closed to the public, closed to the media as well. So the accounts that we get of the scrimmage are basically going to be coaches and players' accounts. What are you most interested in hearing about from their first scrimmage?
I think maybe for me, if what kind of pressure, if at all, is the defensive line getting? Are they even creating plays in the offensive backfield, tackles for loss? You know, obviously not going to be tackling the quarterback to the ground, but maybe touch sacks. I'd be kind of interested in that just to see who's getting back there. I think there are options at the end with Deshaud Stewart and Zach Williams. I think those guys are plenty capable of getting into the backfield and creating some havoc. But I'm waiting on maybe a Jordan Dominick, Landon Jackson, guys from Georgia Tech and LSU respectively. I think those guys are having better camps in the last few days than maybe the first couple. So I know Sam said that on Thursday about Jordan Dominick. Like, he's been in his meetings, he opens up those meetings with some practice clips. And two of the last 3 days, as of Thursday, Jordan Dominick was up there for a good reason, giving good effort, good energy at defensive end. I still think that he's learning a little bit on the fly. You know, I saw that again today. Deke Adams was on him a little bit, but I think there's potential there. Maybe on the offensive side, I don't really know. Maybe see Nathan Bax doing some good things just to kind of shore up your depth at tight end, give you two good guys there. Maybe Tyrus Washington could give you something. Maybe just another receiver to emerge on top of. I feel like the top four are pretty set in stone with Keytron, Jaden Hazelwood, Matt Landers, and Warren Thompson. I think those are your top four, but maybe you want to see another guy flash and make some plays and, you know, put himself comfortably. As of right now, I don't know how comfortable you can get being on the travel roster at this point, but maybe give the coaches something else to think about and, you know, give him some more snaps.
Yeah, I think the pass rush is probably the biggest question surrounding this team right now. So I'll be interested to hear about that as well. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I really want to know who's going to step up and be that number one receiver for KJ Jefferson. I think the leading candidate in that room was Jaden Hazelwood from my perspective, until we started hearing all this praise for Matt Landers. And then just the other day, Warren Thompson had a show out day. So there's just so many different guys that I could see stepping up and filling that role. And I'm looking forward to see who actually rises up to that challenge.
We'll have coverage of what the players and coaches say following the scrimmage on Saturday. You can also come to our website today for our latest coverage from the Razorbacks football practice. Lots of coverage from Tom Murphy, Scotty Bordelon, myself, and others, as well as basketball coverage from the Razorbacks international trip. They've played two games in Spain. They've got two games upcoming in Italy beginning Saturday afternoon, and we'll have live updates from that game on Saturday at wholehogsports.com. Hope you have a great weekend. Just a couple more weekends left without football. We'll be back on Monday with another Whole Hog Football podcast. For Andrew Joseph and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. Have a good day, everyone.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. and visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.